listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Married to Medicine After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Married to Medicine After Show.
Hey everyone, thank you for tuning into another show of Married to Medicine. This is English Cleveland, and I am joined by my beautiful, amazing co-host.
Hi, I'm Jocelyn Polite, everyone.
And we are recapping Chariot of Fire.
Oh, yeah.
So let's do a quick little recap. Let it burn. Thank you, Usher. I love you. Let's do a quick little recap of they started off this season with the recap or this episode, the recap of all the others just to get everyone catched up. Lisa Nicole has a cancer scare.
Yes.
And that's what she's bringing to this episode. Mariah and Quad in their argument at STK. And then Dr. Simone and Quad arguing about her gyrating on her husband.
Still an issue.
So that's a recap of our whole kind of pretty much, it's the fifth episode, so this is where we are now. This episode starts off with Dr. Simone and her kids talking about vacation.
Yeah.
Her son has, spoiled children, has up the Bahamas or Dubai.
Right, and I think she offered up Six Flags and the son said in Japan, so.
Right, Six Flags isn't enough. I mean, I've been to Dubai. It's beautiful, but it's a luxury trip. It's not something that you just go on as a child. I didn't go on as a child. I've gone on it as an adult last year. So I feel like it's a luxury trip. Like, for a kid to be able to have the Bahamas or Dubai on the list is you guys are spoiled.
Exactly. And they were serious. They had it, they had it all planned out. They wanted to go to Dubai or the Bahamas. I mean, the Bahamas would definitely be a little more reasonable.
Right.
But Dr. Simone was like, that's not happening. You know, I think what we saw before was they were having some financial issues with her billing system, with her job. And so I don't think that's something that's in the works it would be for the summer, possibly.
And she's super busy, so I just don't think that's going to happen too for her.
Yeah, that would be a lot of time off.
Yes. Okay.
But great trips.
Great trips.
Great trips.
Yes, I would love to go on both. So, Dr. Simone, me and Jocelyn are down to go to Bahamas or Dubai. So, call us or tweet us, Instagram, follow us, and we will pack our bags and be ready.
Exactly.
So, we progressed to Toya going furniture shopping with her, designer for a house that she put $50,000 down cash. And they don't have the house yet.
No.
But she is seeing her future, and it looks much brighter than it does right now. So she is putting down money on a house that she wants to purchase, and she's trying to buy furniture.
Yeah, I believe that at first she wanted her husband. They were going to build a house.
Right.
And they decided against that. So now this is the house that they're going to buy. Mm-hmm. And, I just thought it was a little odd. I mean, I know we all get furniture ideas and we get ideas about what we want it to look like and, you know, how we want to set it up. But I don't know. I think possibly we need to close everything first before we get the furniture and start loading that in. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless there's something special you want to add in there.
Right. Yeah, of course. She says... She stops at no price tag, which we had a discussion last week about her finances kind of up in the air. We don't know if she has the money or she doesn't. Her husband made a comment that she should go back to work. She says that they're making more money than they're putting out. So
she said more is coming in than going out.
Right. So What is the issue? I feel like husbands, of course, they always have, like, don't spend that right. much money. But she's saying price tag is not an issue.
Well, I've never been in a position where price tag was not an issue, so maybe I shouldn't be the one to speak to this, but I do think that you can begin to get yourself in trouble if you start making statements and leading your life like price tag is not the issue. We all need to look at price tags. We all Hello. Need to look at how much things are, how much we're spending, if it's within our budget. We all need to have a budget, and I think when you start veering from that, you get into trouble waters. So
and you don't appreciate the value of something. Like, if something costs $30,000 and you never looked at the price tag, you're not going to appreciate it if you knew how much it's going to cost.
Exactly.
So even the richest of the richest of the richest are very frugal with their money.
Absolutely.
So it just shows that you're kind of immature with your money as far as saying price tag is not an issue. It's not your birthday. You're buying a house that it's not even your name is on the deed.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah. I mean, I feel like, you know, that goes to not everyone when I make this statement, but, you know, when you're not making your own money sometimes, you yes. don't really appreciate the full value of it, mm-hmm. you know, because that's hard work. You know that there's taxes that's been taken out and the hard work that you're making. And sometimes we don't ever feel like that paycheck that we get is worth the time and the effort that we've put into work. Mm-hmm. So it's like,
and to just kind of disregard it. And especially a salaried employee.
Exactly.
I'm salaried. You're salaried.
I'm salaried. Right.
So we make sometimes like a month, we may work like 90,000 hours.
Right.
And we feel like our value isn't valued.
Yeah. And I don't feel like mine is reflected in my paycheck every single month. I'm like, what? Where is all the work I've done? It doesn't show up monetarily. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because I feel like I'm doing so much. So, yeah. I mean,
imagine right. if you had someone at home that's feeding off of the money that you're going, waking up so early, getting ready, having to look great, going to work, and then someone's feeding off of that paycheck that you feel like this isn't even enough, and then they're going to a furniture store and saying price tag is not an issue. We have a problem here, Houston.
Yeah, we definitely have a problem, and I think it's an even bigger problem because her husband did, if we go back a couple episodes, say to her, are you going to get a job?
Yeah.
I mean, so, you know, before I said it, I think that there's some issues in financially. I really do.
I agree with you. I agree with you. Okay, so we then go to Lisa Nicole working on her attitude with dealing with possible cancer. She speaks about it and just trying to figure out, you know, she has her WIN conference coming mm-hmm. up, and she wants to have just the best presence. And I kind of, this episode, I really did give her a lot of respect because she's shown herself to be a versatile woman. She's shown herself to be not just, you know, her husband and her, she's not dumb.
No.
And I appreciate that type of woman. Like, you're doing your thing, you're hustling, whatever it is. You're having these conferences, you're doing your thing. Even if, you know, some women may think that it's not really a big thing, but even if you're out there encouraging people, inspiring people, whatever, you're doing your thing, you have your business. I kind of respected her a lot because even in the midst of her health issue, she came off with, I need to work on myself because I'm the presenter of this situation. I need to be able to get up on stage and be an inspiration to these other women. What do you feel about it?
Well, you know, I had a lot of appreciation. I feel like you. This scene, to me, was one that, you know, I kind of got to see who she was. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, I think, a couple of episodes ago, you know, it was like, this is who I am. I think we talked
yes.
about that in the whole resume.
Yes.
But this one, I felt like I got to know who she was. And that moment that she got out of bed and really just had to deal with the fact that she could get bad news. She could possibly have cancer. And now I think I have more of an understanding of why she wants to push forward with this WIN thing. Mm-hmm. It's almost like I want to push forward with this and empower people, not coming from a scared, negative, fearful place. Mm-hmm. I mean, I already have a little bit of that, but I really just want to go in and do this. And then I want to tend to myself. So right. I kind of
Very
felt different
selfless.
About her. Yeah. I felt different
yeah.
about her.
Very selfless. So then we get to Quad. She is deciding to push forward with her doggy couture line, which is great for her, instead of sitting at home being a housewife and not having any ambition or anything to live for. She's decided
to live for.
But I mean, like,
no,
if,
yeah, I understand.
You know what I mean? Like, don't yeah. sit at home and just wash the dishes all day. Have something. You have a brain.
Right.
You've gone to school. you've gone to college, you have all of these people, resources, absolutely, you have a way with your words.
You're in a position to promote something that you want to do for yourself.
Exactly.
Right.
So she loves her dogs. Any plan of having children. And so she decides, I'm going to start a puppy couture line. And she is pitching it. She comes with a very, I felt it was great. I felt like she came with a very strong business plan. She came in the office very ambitious and was like, hey, I brought the two people that represent me, and I'm going to show you who I am and who these dogs are. But the dogs kind of had a mind of their own.
Oh, my gosh. And it's interesting because before we even get to that, she was at the store with the guy that she wants to kind of partner up with, Rico. Mm-hmm. And Rico was kind of sketching some things for her, you know, like what it would look like. Now, I was surprised when she went to the meeting to pitch the couture line that she didn't have the sketches. Maybe she did and we didn't see that. But I know the guy was kind of looking like, well, what is this going to look like? And, you know, he wanted samples and everything. But, you know, I felt like she, when you're pitching something like this and it's going to be that much money, you know, I feel like you need to have a little bit more than just these are my puppies and this is what's out there and I want to do better than
this. I'm better than this. Right. Right. So let's discuss Quad's age, because before, I'm not throwing shade, but she was saying that she was...
Like early 30s, maybe?
No, late 20s.
Oh, late 20s. Okay. Well, she made a reference that I found interesting because she made a reference to school days, Spike Lee's school days. Mm-hmm. And I think someone who would possibly be in their late 20s, I don't know if they would reference Spike Lee's school days.
Right.
So I was like
I'm 26. I don't reference. I know school days. I've seen it. But I would never think to reference that.
Right.
I would think to reference things that are in my era.
And especially if that wasn't your college experience. I mean, I'm older than 26. Okay. But you want to reference something that was like your experience. And I felt like school day Spike Lee, like that was, you know, that was some early 90s, late 80s, maybe early 90s stuff.
Right,
it just kind of made me question whether she was a little bit older. And I know, you know, on television people, you know, they don't say their real age and all of that kind of stuff. But I do remember that a couple of episodes ago, if it wasn't last season, her husband said something like, you're about to kick 30 down, or you're about to leave your 30s, or something like that. So I was, and she was like, no, I'm in my early. So I'm like, what's the real story here?
Right. I feel like perception wise, I feel like Quad is almost 40.
Okay.
And Mariah's 35. If they're running together, they're running buddies, they have to be somewhere. And I feel like Mariah looks older than 35.
Well, I think it's all the makeup and the curls. And she looked younger to me when she was sick in bed that time. She looked like I could see, you know, an early 30 in her early 30s. But then, you know, when she's zhuzhed up with the jewelry and the gowns, she definitely looks older.
Right. So, okay. Well, you guys let us know what you think. You go on iTunes, you rate, comment, let us know what you feel about the show. Not about us. We still love you guys, but we do want you guys to comment on the show. So go on there, give us 5 stars, let us know what you think. How old do you think Mariah and Quad really are? That's the question of this episode. Hot Chariot of Fire. So we're going to progress to, Quad says she hasn't talked to Mariah since SDK. And then the episode goes to Rico saying that Quad was a big enough woman to walk away. And still in this episode, I don't know if it's editing or if it's them, Quad and Mariah. Quad has gave such a detailed story. She's poured her heart, tears, joy, laughter, everything into her friendship with Mariah. Mariah still is very shady and vague on what the issue is. And I can, now we're in episode 5. There's probably only like 4 or 5 more episodes. Mm-hmm. So the producers are building up to this whole SDK moment. Obviously, we see this. And to me, it just feels like, who's telling the truth? Like, we have Quad completely being honest about, in my eyes, about what happened. And then Mariah giving us 50 Shades of Grey. Like, we don't know what it is.
Well, I think I was sharing with you that I was reading the blogs. You know, I was reading the blogs with them, and I saw that Quad in her blog is very detailed. She didn't really go into what happened at STK. I'm assuming that producers don't want her to go into that quite yet.
Right.
But she's very detailed about how she feels, how Mariah has made her feel. She's letting it out. To me, she was just emotionally bleeding. You know what I mean? And she was making references to all type of different things. And I think even on like Twitter, I've seen some things where she's, you know, really, she's heartfelt. But Mariah seems to be a little bit more dismissive about it. So you're not really sure where she stands. Like, what happened? I still don't know her side.
I don't know it either. But let's save something for predictions, because I have a lot to say with that. Boop. Shade thrown there. So then we go to Dr. Simone. She sees Mariah, and it's funny because the scene opens with Dr. Simone with Mariah sitting on Dr. Simone's
examining table,
and she's like, I want to freeze my eggs.
Right.
And to me, out of all the marriages, you don't see any issues between Mariah and her husband. Mm-hmm. Actually, the only thing that I can give Mariah is that her and her husband are really cute together.
They are.
They're funny. He's funny.
Yeah.
They have some kind of, like, chemistry. He feeds off of her. Like, she's, like, silly, and her words are, like, crazy, but he goes along with it. And it's kind of funny because they're from different cultures.
Yeah, I think they both have settled into being who they are. I think, you know, he is who he is. He brings his culture to the marriage, and that's who he is. And I think Mariah, you know, she's a Chattanooga girl. She's a Tennessee girl, you know, and she doesn't veer from who she is. She's you know, and so I think it makes it really cute for
them. They accept each other. Right. And she says she's Blackadeshi, which is super hilarious because it's cute.
It is.
And he loves her. You can definitely tell because she's a lot to deal with. And he seems like, you know, he's down for his family. He's accepted her daughter. He's created a whole new family, and they've had a son together. So it seems like he's really down for his family, his family, like, from Bangladesh, consider her as a sister. And, you know, they're all, it's pretty much ride or die. So I do appreciate and accept that, because it's good to see on reality TV that family is still family.
Absolutely. And they are a family. I like their family.
Yeah, it's cute. It's cute. So, like we said, Mariah is 35.
She wants to freeze her eggs.
She wants to freeze her eggs. She wants to figure out about balancing of having a baby.
Right.
Which, Mariah, we've never really discussed, but Mariah doesn't have a job.
No, Mariah doesn't work.
She doesn't have, but she's not, she doesn't have anything in the works. She's not like a
designer. She has her charities that she's told us about. You know, she has her charities and things that she's involved in, but yeah, she doesn't. I was kind of surprised at this scene, to be honest, because I've never really heard Mariah speak of having another child. Mm-hmm. You know, last season it didn't really come up, and I didn't think that Mariah really wanted to have another. Yeah, I didn't even think she wanted to, but I know it happens and you want to and everything like that, but Dr. Simone just didn't advise her to freeze her eggs.
Yeah. She said 35 is the time that you should go forward with having a kid. Go right now and have sex with your husband.
Like, at this moment, like, when you leave this office.
Leave here and go right now. Don't put on a condom. Just go for the gusto. But the thing is it is weird because Mariah is very strategic. And to me, she has a way with words, like Quad, that she would be able to run a business and be a strong woman because she has, you know, that kind of strength. But to me, it's like, what do you do all day? Like, I know you have your two kids and your husband is a doctor and he goes to work, but I would kind of respect Mariah a little bit more if you heard, like, you know, she's doing this, or she's, even if she's creating a freaking tote bag line, who, I don't know. But, like, have something. Like, I don't understand housewives. And I know it's hard to run a house by yourself
without a job
and all of that. Yeah. But the thing is, it's like, what are you living for? Are you living just to support your husband? Or are you living just to, like, what are you living for? What is your dream? When you were a kid at night, what did you aspire to be? What did you, everyone wants to be something.
Right. And, well, I mean, I don't know. She could have aspired to be a wife, you know, or and a mother. I mean, I don't know. You know what I mean? But I think that with the whole housewives all the shows that we've seen with housewives over the year, I think that, you know, someone like a Bethany Frankel set the bar really high because she got her product out there. She promoted it and it was like, and it took off, you know?
Right,
and so
right,
I think
right.
that everyone else came out with handbag lines and different things like that. And so I think we all look now for, well, what's this, you know, what is this housewife doing? Or what, you know, what is she doing? But she could be perfectly happy possibly being a mom and taking care of her kids and being fabulous and wearing her necklaces outside and running the household. And I mean, it's work. I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not a parent, so I don't want to judge it from that. And I'm not a wife, but I definitely think that, you know, she's busy. But I don't know how busy all these women are with all this gossiping and everything like that. I know Jackie and Simone are busy, but.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, okay. So when Dr. Simone and them are sitting there talking about children, somehow they progress to Quad.
Which was weird to me.
It was kind of
strange to me that, and I know they're friends, but if I'm sitting here, but you have to divide that. If I'm your friend and you're my OBGYN, you know, that friendship gossipy part of the relationship should be cut off and you're dealing with the issue that I'm there for. You know what I mean? And so when they brought Quad's name into it, because I think even Dr. Simone said something like, well, you know, Quad's not ready to have a baby. Oh, I was like, wait a second. That's Quad's issue.
And that's her information.
Exactly.
For you to pour out as a doctor is kind of against, yeah.
Yeah, like, I was uncomfortable with that because I was like, why are they talking about Quad and her doctor's visit and then where Quad is with having children? Mm-hmm. I just don't think that belonged in that visit. But
so Quad or Mariah says that Quad is caught up in the hype and she's feeding off of, you know, popularity and all the
things.
She
called her Chicken Little. The sky is falling.
The sky is falling. So what really is the issue? Like, I know that we're probably not going to get down to this till the end of the season. And I hope that you guys can wait and listen to what we have to say about it. But it's just kind of like, what, like, come on. We can't really wait that much longer. Like, what is the issue? It's, like, silly. They were so tight friends last season. They were crazy about each other. They had theme songs and
they were finishing each other's sentences.
Yeah.
They had all kind of things. Yeah, it's just very, I mean, you know, I think Mariah, what I found is that when she starts to talk about Quad, she comes from a very hurt place, but I think as the conversation goes on, she's angry and she relives whatever made her angry that we don't really know, but she relives the anger and then it just, you know, cause she kind of started off with like, oh, I think, you know, having a child would be good for her and maybe she needs to do that on her own. It seemed like kind of friendly and I thought, well, you know, maybe there's room for growth.
Maybe she wants the best for her.
Right. But then she moved into Chicken Little comments and the sky is falling and she wants to be in the circle. And I was like, wait a minute, where is this going?
Right. So she ends the conversation with her husband needing hair implants, which is pretty obvious.
Yeah.
And that she probably can't go to the WIN conference. But in reality, this is not a reality show. It's all staged. Not staged, but
scripted.
Scripted.
Yeah.
And they know what it is. Okay, Lisa, you're going to have a conference. Quad's gonna come. All the other ladies are gonna sit there. Then Quad's gonna come. Mm-hmm. Leave the seat open between Mariah, for Mariah, and then Mariah's gonna come super late
and sit next to Quad.
And which sit is next like, to Quad. And don't throw shade at each other though. But still throw shade, and then we'll see where you guys get from there. And make reality TV. So boom. So, Quad. We'll get to that big scene.
Yeah, because that was huge.
That
what
was
happened
a huge
there.
Scene.
That, but you know what? I have to say, you know, because I know that I'm probably the only Dr. Heavenly fan, you know, here. But I just thought her and her family were really cute. And I wanted to bring up the issue that Dr. Heavenly was talking about because she was talking about being subservient to your husband.
Okay.
Maybe not subservient, but at least like catering to your husband and letting him be the man at home and letting him be the leader of the house and things like that. And I figured that's probably an issue that's pretty debatable because a lot of women, you know, especially working women like Dr. Heavenly, you know, you're going out to work, you're doing what you need to do, you're working hard, you come home and you want to make decisions about certain things. And, you know, the only thing that makes me uncomfortable is the daddy. Don't know if I like her calling her husband daddy, but okay. I guess. But I don't know. I don't find anything wrong with wanting your man to lead the household and everything like that. I don't really have a big problem with it. I'm assuming that a lot of women do. Sometimes you just have to leave that stuff at the door, all that working decision making.
Right.
You know, you don't want a power struggle with your husband at home.
The issue that I had was that she was talking to her daughter about this.
She was.
And I know that you guys at home just like had feelings about me not really caring for Dr. Heavenly's daughter, and you guys felt like I shouldn't come for people's kids. I'm not coming for her child. I think that she definitely should be a child and be put in a child's place. And her mom is opening her up to certain things that a child shouldn't have an opinion or response to. You have friends. And you have coworkers and you know, whatever, whoever you want to speak to. But as far as your child, she's already well advanced over her age. You don't need to come to your child and speak to them about being a subservient wife. I think that that's just too much. Like, she's already fast as it is, and she already has an opinion, and she's very quick with what she says.
Yeah.
There's no way that you need to ask your daughter what she wants to be. Even her daughter was like, Mom, that's 90 million years away from now. Like,
exactly.
Why do I have to give you an opinion on who I'm going to be as a wife? Like,
well, and you don't need to do that with children anyway. You're modeling it in your home.
Yeah.
She's going to pick up on it anyway.
Yeah.
So you're modeling the behavior at home. She sees that, you know, her mom cooks for her father, puts his plate on the table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she sees all this. So you don't really need to make an issue of telling her this is what you need to do. You need to, when, you know, you need to consider your husband and put, you know, his food down and cook for him and be, you know, I mean, you don't need to do that, you know, and you don't want to teach her that, because if she wants to go a different direction, that's up to her and
right.
That's her life.
To me, if you did that naturally, you would never bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
Because you keep bringing it up makes me feel like you're either throwing shade at the other ladies, or you don't really do this in reality. Because if you did, it wouldn't be something you should be like, all women should be submissive to their husband. You wouldn't bring it up. It would just be something naturally that you always do. But every scene that you have with your children or your husband, you keep trying to dig into be submissive to your husband. And we understand you're a doctor. Cool. These other women are OBGYNs. You're a different doctor. You're able to have a 9-to-5 job.
Well, she works part-time also.
And part-time.
Yeah.
Go home, feed your children, feed your husband. These women are 24/7 yeah. OBGYN doctors. They are checking pap smears to breast
delivering
augmentations,
babies, right.
Or not augmentations, but breast, mm-hmm. you know, checkups, mm-hmm. mammograms to delivering a child.
Right.
So some women, I'm sorry, you're just in your practice as a dentist, you're checking teeth. We're talking about delivering life or death situations.
Yeah. And I just, you know, I feel like you don't have, there's no place for you in someone else's home. And
right.
what people choose to do is what they choose to do. If she wants to be subservient to her husband, if she wants to be the type of wife that where, you know, his word is his word at home, then that's all good for you. That is in your residence and that's at your address. You know, get out of other people's addresses. They want to do what they want to do. I think that should be allowed. So if that's how it works at home for her, great.
Right. But I feel like this, she's new, but everything she said is very like, be submissive to your husband. Be submissive to your husband. Like, we get it. You know, you're submissive to your husband. You work part time. He's your daddy. You call him daddy and you call your daughter mama. Who are you? You know what I mean? Like, it's weird.
Those are little pet names and everything for them. I mean, you know, I don't know. The daddy thing is kind of weird. I don't know.
Super weird.
I hope that's not in the bedroom because that'd be kind of strange. But
what,
yeah.
Daddy?
Yeah.
Daddy's fine in the room.
Oh, okay.
But to me.
Okay.
But not when you're in front of your child. Like, come on, daddy. Like, it just seems too, like,
yeah, it has some, like, sexual stuff
behind it. Yeah,
it's
very inappropriate. If you're calling him daddy in the room, I'm sure he's cool with it. But I'm like, daddy, your breakfast is on the table sitting next to your daughter.
Right.
Mind you, her daughter, this episode was super hilarious because she was like, I'm a vegetarian.
Until she smelled the bacon.
She was like, you know what? I could always be a vegetarian tomorrow.
I know.
Right. I feel like that sometimes bacon. I don't eat pork. But sometimes when I smell, like, especially maple bacon,
yeah,
I'm like, Lord, have mercy, Jesus, on
I know.
Me.
Well, I am a vegetarian, but for me, it's barbecue. When I smell anything
Girl.
Barbecue, it's like, I want, hey, ribs. I think about ribs, and I'm like, I miss ribs, but
yes,
I hop back into my
yes.
vegetarianism.
Oh, gosh. So let's stop talking about food.
I know, because now I'm getting hungry.
It's Sunday.
So let's get to the WIN conference.
Wait, let's talk about Quad and her investor.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's saying the doggy business is a $17.4 million business. She wants to be dazzled.
Billion dollar.
Yeah. Which is crazy. She wants to be dazzled with dogs. Like we said, her dogs embarrassed her.
Peed
on the floor. The guy, the investor, ends up saying he will give her a 30-day trial, basically. He wants to see samples, and he wants to see what she can produce.
Yeah, which I don't blame him. I mean, you know, if you're going to invest the type of money that she's asking for, I mean, it's really expensive because she is talking about bedazzling. She's talking about fabrics that are very expensive. She's talking about the Louis Vuitton of canine couture. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if she's talking about that, you're talking about a lot of money. And I don't know. He didn't look too convinced.
You don't judge a book by its cover, but he didn't look like he had the money to contribute.
He didn't.
Not to me. I'm not throwing shade at him, but I'm just saying. He just looked like he wasn't really there for what she was talking about. Like,
yeah, he seemed a little confused.
He didn't really care. I'm like, do you know you're here for a puppy line? Like, he act like he didn't even know what he walked into. He's like, oh, a puppy couture line. So what does that mean?
Right.
Like, if you're an investor, you're only coming out of your house for what you know. So to me, that's why it came off as they just put him in the place. As an investor, and was like, hey, so she's going to ask you for $17 billion. Are you going to give it to her?
Yeah, he had a good, like, he had that face, though, that, you know, investors give when you're trying to promote something and you think it's a really great idea, and they're just kind of looking at you like,
Yeah.
You're like working really hard and the dog is jumping off the table and pee is flying everywhere. And, you know, you're trying your hardest to pitch this. And this man's giving you like poker face, or he's kind of looking like, what are you talking about? So I think that's part of his little, you know, his little thing anyway, is to kind of be that guy that looks like, because at the end, what he was giving us didn't seem like at the end he was going to give her 30 days.
Right.
And, you know, bring me some samples.
Right. And we can say Quad did look good.
She looks great.
She came with her A game. Yeah. I am very proud of her. She stepped it up this season. Like we said last episode, she looks great. She looks put together. Like she says, she looks snatched.
She does.
And you can't hate on her.
The weight, everything with her, I feel like came together. I mean, she just is having a much better, you know, season as far as like how she looks and how she dresses. And I mean, she's walking in the scenes like it's off the runway. I mean, she looks great.
Yeah, she does look great. Okay, so like you said, we're going to talk about the WIN Conference.
And I'm sorry, I'm just excited
I get it. Women Empowering Network.
Yes.
They had about 300 women at the conference, and it's support for women and children, and which is great. All of that kind of women stuff, we always need it. Mm-hmm. Most of our viewers are probably women. Mm-hmm. And I think that not only is it encouraging women on that were at the conference, but it's probably encouraging women that are watching this show. So I give Lisa Nicole a big kudos for that, because that's great. You know, you're taking time out. This is something that you put your passion to. You really love it. And you're putting your health aside for encouragement of women that are already successful. And a lot of people try to empower women that are like on drugs, or they've lost their children, or they've, you know, maybe they haven't been the perfect woman. But she's taking the time out to encourage the women that already may have $30 million in their bank account. Everyone needs encouragement. So I just think that, amen to her, big kudos. And, you know, seeing her on stage and the way her presence, it seemed natural to her.
She was great.
It didn't seem like fake, like she was putting off for the camera. Her husband was standing in the back. She said he's her biggest supporter. And she seemed like she, you know, she's standing on stage like so natural, like, you know, giving the women what they needed to hear. And I was like, amen. Like, yeah. Go ahead.
And hats off to her, because we all know that she's going through something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so it's good that she could stand up there really and give this speech. And I mean, and it was empowering. I mean, I was listening like, wow. I mean, not just as a viewer, but I was really like, I would like to go to something like that, you know, just to get you off your butt to go and do the things that you need to do in life. Right. Or is there some goals that you want to meet in life? Right. I liked it. I really did.
And especially if you're a woman that's busy. I'm very busy. And sometimes for me, I don't have, besides my mom, I don't have someone that I could talk to, be like, oh, girl, like, I've been so busy this week. I've been to China, and I came back, and I've been here and there, and da, da, da. Whatever. You know, you work with a whole mm-hmm. bunch of people, so you're so used to being so busy that sometimes you need people that are on your caliber to be able to encourage you, to be able to tell you you're great, and you're doing the right thing, and you're awesome, and we are here behind you with whatever you have and, you know, whatever your dreams are. So, anyways, she is on stage. She says her husband is her biggest supporter. She's chit-chatting. They keep taking these little breaks, mm-hmm. which in between the breaks...
The tranquility room.
The tranquility room.
And you get hand massages.
Yes. And Dr. Simone, I can say I saw her on Instagram. She has an Instagram. And then I saw her on this episode. And I was like, you know what? Even though Dr. Simone may not be able to put it down in the bedroom, she looks great.
She does look good.
She looks good. Like, she looks great. Like, her hair is beautiful.
Yeah.
She always looks very polished. She speaks well. She's the doctor. She all, like, I saw her on Instagram the other day. I was like, you know what, Dr. Simone? Go. Like, you're doing it. Like, you look great. And even though you may downplay yourself a little bit, you look good.
No, she does look good. And I also thought that Dr. Jackie looked good. Yes. I really did. I had to give it to her because I know that I was kind of saying I wanted her to step it up this season. And I was surprised that she didn't really step it up this season. But I looked at her at this WIN conference in that red dress, and she looked amazing. She looked really good.
Yeah,
so.
She did look good. Okay, so Toya decides, which is very contrived. She says to Simone, oh, like, are you gonna be yelling tonight? Like, no yelling, right? Which starts drama at a women. We just went on. Like, you and I just both fed into the whole women empowerment speech. And then now it's like Toya wants to discuss, oh, are you gonna yell at me? Like, girl, know your place.
Well, she's angry. She's still angry about Dr. Simone freaking on her husband and touching him at the bowling alley. I mean, this is still an issue for her because it's unresolved. And Dr. Simone didn't give her an apology or explain to her what happened. So she's not letting it go.
Right. Which is so silly. So Dr. Simone says, have a brain before you want to talk to me. Toya still wants to talk about the whole gyrating, which is like, if this is your friend, okay, there may have been too much alcohol involved. You tell your friend, guess what? I didn't like, you got a little bit too drunk. I didn't like it. You know your friend's married. So she'll be like, girl, you're right. I had too much to drink. I got my man at home. I'm a gyrate on him. Word. Like, I feel like Toya's whole MO this whole season, I don't know, we're five episodes in, but they're still talking about the gyrating from the first episode. It's like, come on. If she really wanted your husband, we would be talking about that she's had your husband and now her husband's dating her.
Right. I mean, I saw some tweets actually today where they were saying that Dr. Simone is Toya's storyline. So they're pretty much saying, like, what else are you talking about? What else is going on with you other than you talking about Dr. Simone and what she did to your husband? So she's not ready to let this go. And it just went into Dr. Simone just basically not wanting to talk to her, saying that she was dumb.
Right.
And that she was, you know, just pretty much stupid. I mean, that's how it went.
Right. Okay, so let's briefly talk about, okay, Lisa Nicole, she has a motivational speech in the midst of her conference. She brings up her cancer scare. Mm-hmm. And she said, but you know what? I'm going to be all right. And, you know, everyone's pretty much clapping for her. She ends her conference on a beautiful note. Then
we get chaos.
Chaos starts.
Yes.
So Mariah says, she sits next to Quad. She says Quad's throwing her a bunch of shade with her rat on her shoulder, which was a fur, and which was completely inappropriate. This is your friend. And if she's wrong, if you're not in the wrong, don't throw shade. You know what I mean? Like, if you're not in the wrong, don't throw shade at the other person.
Well, I think what happened is that when she came in to sit down and however that, you know, we saw her walk in, but I believe mm-hmm. when she came in to sit down, she felt like Quad gave her a nasty look and kind of the death stare. And so then that went into making a comment about, you know, her fur on her shoulder. And then the nastiness just took off from there.
Then the other women proceed to talk about the issue at STK. Why aren't you, like, to me, of course, we did say the producers, but it's like, why bring up such a big issue at a women empowering conference? The women are sitting there discussing the issue between her and Mariah when there's a bunch of other women there, successful women. Talk to them of maybe how your billing cycle's going. You know what I mean?
Like, well, I don't want to hear about STK anymore until I see something. I don't want to hear about this anymore.
Because they've all tried to get it out of both of them, and they're still saying the same thing.
And we have fragmented pieces of the story. And I really, honestly, as a viewer, I don't want to see. I want to see STK first before you start getting. I don't even have an idea of what happened there. And they keep bringing it up and bringing it up. And I guess it's to bait us on until the end so that we can find out what happened there. But honestly, I've grown tired of it. Mm-hmm. I want to know what happened at STK, and then let's take it from there.
Right. So I wrote down, Quad feels Mariah is lying and while she's talking to the girls. Mariah says, the devil is busy. That's the most that Mariah has ever said. So if the devil is busy, then correct the devil on what is the lie.
Right.
Like, say your truth. What is the issue? Because you're still not saying what the issue is. So to me, it's super weird that you're still going on. Then she brought up Rico Chappelle and was like, well, you met with Rico Chappelle. So to me, it seems like some shade or the issue that they're mad at each other is something in regards to Rico Chappelle. He's in the mix somehow because Mariah mentioned his name.
Right. And there was just a lot of, as they say, shade throwing. There was a lot of name calling. Mariah's making reference to Quad's red dress as like the devil in the red dress. I mean, as the, you know, the
Decepticon. Being the devil.
Exactly. A Decepticon, a Transformer. I mean, it just went on and on. And I mean, it was a wicked fight, and it looks like it's going to continue. Mm-hmm. But I saw Quad very emotional, crying.
Yes, yes.
I mean, she looked like she was going into hysterics. And then I saw Mariah at some point. And I don't know if it was just me looking at it this way, but at some point it just seemed like Mariah was almost like had hit a place where she wanted to kind of calm Quad down because
yes.
It had gone too far.
Yes, you're right. You're completely right. She said, I'm the tree and you're the branch.
Ooh.
She threw that shade there. But then it was just like, I could tell, like, you're being evil. I'm crying and I'm hurt for a reason. All you're saying is that I'm Decepticon and I'm a devil in a red dress. And you're calling me all of these names. I'm telling you why I'm hurt.
Specifically
right. Why I'm hurt. Mariah even said, if I hurt you, I'm sorry.
She did.
So obviously everyone else is saying Mariah was drunk that night and she was acting crazy.
And she probably was.
We've had those kind of nights, some of us.
Yes, we have.
And sometimes we just don't remember the actions that we've done.
We don't. And the next day we have drinker's remorse or we don't. I don't know. You know, because again, we don't know what happened. But I just felt like at some point Mariah did get to a place where I heard an apology.
I did too.
But I think Quad was so in that she, I don't even know if Quad heard that apology.
I don't think she did either.
Just, I got to get this out and I'm mad.
Yep. So Quad or... I don't know if it was Quad or Mariah, but either, I think it was Mariah feels like Quad's the master manipulator. Mm-hmm. I don't think Quad's manipulating anything. I feel like she's giving her true story to how she received it. I feel like, you know, Mariah's saying she came with an entourage and da-da-da-da-da. But, girl, say your story. Like, what happened?
Yeah,
like, you keep giving so much, like, she's Decepticon, she's a master manipulator, but you're still not saying what is the issue. So, let's talk about predictions.
Okay.
And now, you're after Buzz TV predictions.
You go.
Well, I think that Toya... Mm-hmm. I think something is going to happen with Toya this season. I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen, but I think Toya and Dr. Simone are not finished. Mm-hmm. I believe that something kind of bad and nasty is going to happen between them. I think that Toya is very offended by mm-hmm. what happened with Dr. Simone. And I think Dr. Simone is just over Toya. And I would hope that they would make up, but I have a feeling that we're going to go a little deeper before they make up.
To me, it's like, if you don't have a job, that's all you're going to be worried about.
Well, that's
why. Why are you gyrating on my husband?
Right.
My prediction would be that, like I said last week, I do think that Mariah and Quad are going to become friends again. I do believe that they are going through an issue that's very petty. I don't think it's more to it than what we know. I think it's all about a word. You did this, girl. You did that. But I don't think that it's something like they've harmed each other in that way.
It's not deep.
It's not that deep. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why Quad is so emotional, because she doesn't quite understand. Why are you acting this way? You've hurt me with your words, but you didn't hit me. So I don't understand, why are we fighting so deep? So you guys let us know what you think about it, because it's obviously taking over our whole entire season. We are wrapping up our show tonight for Married to Medicine. It has been great. Also, let us know how you feel about Mariah saying cherry. What'd she say?
Chariot.
Chariot. It's chariot. Their grammar on the show is very bad. Michelle's not here tonight, but she also touches on that a lot, and you guys threw her shade. But it's so completely off. So let's talk about that next week. You guys, let us know. It's a lot of country grammar going on. But it has been a great episode. Me and Jocelyn have really enjoyed it. We love you guys, and we thank you for watching. You can find me on Instagram at Pink English, as well as on Twitter, English Speaks.
And you can find me on Twitter at Jocelyn Polite.
We love you, and we thank you so much for watching. Happy Sunday, and we can't wait to see you next Sunday.
Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.